You're listening to New Technia. A brain implant let a man with ALS speak and work independently for 3,800 hours. A man with severe paralysis caused by ALS used an implanted brain-computer interface independently at home for more than 3,800 hours over 19 months. The system decoded nearly 2 million attempted words and enabled speech, messaging, web browsing and full-time work, but it remains an invasive, wired research device tested in only one participant. A brain-computer interface has moved beyond a carefully supervised laboratory demonstration and into the routines of daily life. A man with severe paralysis and speech impairment caused by amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, used an implanted system at home for more than 3,800 hours. Communicating with family, controlling his computer and maintaining full-time employment. The 30-second summary. A man with severe paralysis caused by ALS used an implanted brain-computer interface independently at home for more than 3,800 hours over 19 months. The system decoded nearly 2 million attempted words and enabled speech, messaging, web browsing and full-time work. But it remains an invasive, wired research device tested in only one participant. The limits of the evidence and what remains unproven are central to the story. The result does not mean that brain implants are ready for routine clinical use. It does, however, answer one of the field's most important questions: can a high-performance speech interface remain useful for months when researchers are not standing beside the user? From attempted speech to text. The participant, identified in the study as T15 and publicly known as Casey Harrell, received four arrays containing a total of 256 microelectrodes in the region of the motor cortex involved in speech. ALS had left him severely dysarthric and with very limited movement, but the brain continued producing neural activity when he attempted to speak. The interface recorded those signals and used a transformer-based decoder to estimate the intended sequence of speech sounds. A language model then converted those probabilities into words selected from a vocabulary exceeding 125,000 English words. The decoded text appeared on a computer and could also be read aloud. The same implanted signals supported cursor control. By combining speech as keyboard input with a neurally controlled pointer, the participant could send messages and emails, browse the web, join video calls, and use professional software. Nearly 2 million words in real life. Across 19 months of independent home use, the participant communicated 183,060 sentences containing 1,960,163 words. His average rate was 56 words per minute. He marked 92% of his sentences as at least mostly correct, while structured tests using prompted words produced more than 99% word accuracy. Those figures matter because controlled accuracy tests can overstate how useful an assistive system feels in ordinary conversation. Real people change topics, use unusual names, interrupt themselves and speak without a predefined script. The study therefore offers rare evidence not only of peak technical performance but also of sustained usefulness. After regulators allowed trained care partners to handle setup without researchers present, average use rose to roughly 9.5 hours on active days. The participant used the interface on 444 of 653 days and accumulated more than 3,800 hours of operation. He used it for personal conversations, internet access, and full-time employment. Why this differs from earlier demonstrations? Previous implanted interfaces have shown that neural activity can be decoded into speech, handwriting, or cursor movements. The harder challenge has been maintaining accuracy over time, reducing daily recalibration and allowing a person to operate the system independently at home. The new study combined speech and cursor control from the speech motor cortex and continuously adapted the decoder as new data became available. Neural representations associated with speech remained sufficiently stable across more than 18 months, helping the system avoid the severe performance drift that can make experimental interfaces impractical. The limitations are substantial. The study involved one participant, so the same results cannot yet be assumed for other people, implant locations, or neurological conditions. The electrodes were connected through a pedestal passing through the skin, making the system invasive and creating practical and medical burdens. Trained care partners still had to attach and remove external hardware and start the software each day. The multi-computer equipment was bulky and largely restricted use to the participant's home. Accuracy in spontaneous conversation was less consistent than the greater than 99% result measured in structured prompted tests. The researchers did not systematically measure fatigue or very long-term device wear. Future systems will need to be wireless or fully implanted, smaller, faster to set up and validated across many participants. They will also require evidence about surgical safety, infection risk, hardware longevity, privacy, and how decoding errors should be handled in consequential conversations. A step toward autonomy, not mind reading. The interface does not extract arbitrary private thoughts. It decodes patterns generated when a trained participant deliberately attempts to speak or control a cursor. That distinction is essential as brain interface technology attracts public attention and exaggerated claims. The achievement is powerful for a more grounded reason. It shows that an implanted neuroprosthesis can support years of practical communication rather than minutes of laboratory performance. For people whose minds remain active while disease takes away speech and movement, that is a meaningful step toward restoring agency, but still only an early step toward an accessible medical product. Before we overstate the result, the system decoded nearly 2 million attempted words and enabled speech, messaging, web browsing, and full-time work, but it remains an invasive, wired research device tested in only one participant. Read the full article at newtacnia.com.